The goal of this podcast is to shine light on different people, places, and ideas that created the many borders of Texas. Not only will we cover physical borders, like the Mighty Trinity and Red Rivers, but also social and metaphysical borders too. These borders and their effects on the people of Texas helped shape our society and state culture permanently.
Good morning and welcome back to the Breaking Borders podcast. My name is Lauren and I am the host for today's episode titled Breaking Racial Borders. In today's episode, I have Brianna here with me to answer a few questions that our audience has from her paper. How are you doing today, Brianna?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
All right. I have the first question for you today. In your paper, you talk a lot about racial and gender segregation that occurred in our country many years ago. Even though racial and gender segregation is frowned upon these days, do you think that it still exists? And what impact do you think that it makes on people as they're growing up if it still does exist?
Great question. Even though racial and gender segregation is frowned upon in our time, I do believe that in certain ways it still exists. An example of this would be segregation caused by education system. As we know, students of color are more likely to live in poverty, and for this reason, they tend to go to schools that are underfunded and not beneficial for the students, while in comparison to others. So in a sense, I do believe that segregation does still exist, and it is also a division in segregation of social classes.
All right, the next question is from Clayton.
You said that there was a good amount of progress made towards ending racial segregation, but there were still some obstacles in the way. What were those obstacles? Are they still present in today's culture? If so, what can the culture do to break through these obstacles?
Okay, so I do believe that there are still obstacles in today's culture in ending the divide. For example, although segregation has occurred for a while now, there are still effects from the times before segregation that were an obstacle for the people of color. I think as a society, we can do something to break these obstacles in becoming aware of the issue. A lot of the time, we look back on history and do not fully think about how it could be currently affecting us, but I think this could help break the obstacles and create change by knowing our history.
Now to Katie with the next question.
In your essay, you discuss how the KKK created a higher divide and border for people of color. Do you think that if the KKK had never come into existence, that problems like racial borders would have never have gotten so extreme and hard to break down? Do you think that we would have achieved equality sooner had the KKK never existed to begin with?
Great question. Like I stated in the paper, it is believed that the KKK was created in order to unite people who strongly believed in white supremacy. Although the KKK as a whole did create a lot of borders for people of color, I do believe that these borders would still be in place without the KKK, because before them, there was still racial borders. In my opinion, people were already racist, and the KKK only allowed them more room to express that racism.
Shauna has the next question.
In your paper, you talk about Parker's struggle in the history, in the story Black and Gold by Anita Richmond Bunkley. You stated that Parker wrote a newspaper article that had controversial views, which caused him to be targeted along with the color of his skin. Do you believe that these type of situations still happen today? If so, do you think it's because of controversial views or because of race? How do these situations affect society?
In today's society, I do believe that the situations similar to Parker still exist. Although we have become more open about sharing our political and social views, I do think that because there is a greater polarization, there are a lot of situations that occur like Parker's where people are targeted for the things that they say. But I do believe that unlike Parker's situation, it occurs because of their views and not because of their race.
Next question is from Connor.
Yeah, so in your paper, you discuss the racial discrimination found during this time period. Do you think that there is still racial discrimination found within the modern world? And if you do, do you think that there will ever be a purely equal world in which discrimination is forgotten as a whole?
I do definitely believe that there is still racial discrimination in our current time period, and I believe it is very evident. For example, less than 5 years ago, we faced a large uproar of protests and riots because of movements that were formed because of racial discriminations. Although it is very unfortunate, I do not believe that there is a time where we will live in a world without discrimination, and this is because it has been instilled into us after all of these years. But I do believe that this shouldn't discourage us from making a change, because although it cannot be purely equal, there's still progress to be made.
Next question is from Jack.
Thank you. In your last paragraph discussing, open quote, divine on the Klan in Texas 1922, close quote, you mentioned brutal riots between police and black citizens, as well as these areas having little to no police and fire protection. Do you think the opposition between these groups is still one of the greatest racial borders in today's world?
In today's world, I do definitely see how there is a disconnection and conflict between police and black citizens in certain situations. With that being said, I think that it is very important. It's a very important racial border in today's world to discuss, but I do believe that there are larger racial borders, such as racial borders between immigrants and certain groups of people.
Grant has the next question for you.
In your paper, when discussing Golden Cocoon, you mentioned that there were many obstacles that created borders for Molly. Obviously, race played a role in her feeling out of place, but the reading never mentions any specific instance of discrimination. What do you think are some examples of discrimination that Molly may have faced?
I believe that another obstacle that Molly faced in the article Golden Cocoon was the lack of support from her family. For example, in the article it is mentioned that although she is eager to attend college, she has to keep it from her mother in order for her mother to allow her to attend. This, I believe, is a big obstacle that Molly faces, because while she was dealing with the racial discrimination going on at school, she was also not receiving any support from her parents because she was taking a non-traditional path in her life.
Now to Colby.
Despite achieving her goals of going to college and being independent from her family at home, Maggie still felt alienated and ashamed as a student. Why do you think this was? Do you think it was more because she didn't share the experience of her ancestors, or because she was African American and felt out of place?
Great question. So I definitely believe that the reason that Maggie did not feel comfortable as a student was because she was not able to relate to her ancestors. Along with this, I also believe she felt alienated because she could not relate to her classmates or peers, since they had such a different past than she did. So all in all, I believe it was a combination of the two and not having anybody to relate to.
And the last question for the day is from Adriana.
All right. When reading your paper, I got an insight of different perspectives of life of those who had to overcome physical borders of racism. Although it was not easy, how do you think these people felt? Why do you think authorities failed to do what was right?
Like stated in the paper, the reason that authorities failed was because they believed highly in white supremacy. The foundation of the country was born on racism, and in this time period, it was more normalized to treat people of color poorly. Along with this, I believe that it was difficult to break out of this and create an equal place for all when this was not the case in the past.
Normally at this point, we would be taking Zach's question. But unfortunately, we were not able to get his question this week, and he is not here today, so we will just have to get back with him next week.
That's all the questions we have for you today. Brianna, thank you for everyone who came out and asked all these amazing questions to our author. Thank you, Brianna, for being willing to answer these questions so well, and thank you to our wonderful and faithful listeners. We hope you will tune in next week, episode of Breaking Borders, where we will be discussing Katie's paper. Our team here at Breaking Borders Podcast would like to thank our audience for coming out and asking these questions to our guest author. We would also like to say a special thank you to Dr. Fletcher for providing us with the readings that were featured in this week's podcast. Also, we would like to thank our guest author one more time for being willing to come out and answer these questions on this week's episode. Make sure you tune in every Friday as we will have a different author talking about their take on the borders. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening.